Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
Well, it's the reign of Christ, so cue lighting on this side, and there's the Christ the King window. And it's dark. Well, it's there, I promise, it's there. We have two visual representations that for me really helped me dig into what this reign of Christ is all about. The reign of Christ, the solemnity of the reign of Christ the King as it's known in other traditions, it's relatively new. It's a 20th century feast. The pontiff in Rome, the Pope, decided we're gonna create a new feast. Anglicans and Lutherans, amongst others, all jumped aboard and said, sure, we will have this day called the reign of Christ. We'll have it just before Advent. It's gonna be an eschatological moment, a moment where we can look into the future, perhaps to lights outside that light up the stained glass windows, or perhaps to Christ actually coming again amongst us, or a new kingdom, a new idea of what kingship should all be about. So last weekend, I also watched all 10 episodes of season 3 of The Crown. There are many problems with The Crown, I will admit. There's a lot of unpacking work around colonialism and imperialism all at play in it. It's a series, though, that my father and I both loved. And my father died last January, and so there was something about it coming out that I clung on to. I had to watch it right away. And so right before me on my TV, there she was, the Queen, representation of Elizabeth, and tears started coming down my face. It was a moment I remembered that I shared with my father, a series that we both loved. There was a moment in the series, and warning, if you haven't yet watched it and you are someone that loves The Crown, plug your ears, although I'm very loud, you'll probably still hear me. There's a vulnerability that comes up. There's a woundedness. Something has really hurt the Queen, the character of the Queen. She's wounded. She's struggling with something. There's a fake tear earlier on in the series, and later on a real tear appears. As I stood in the middle of the room last weekend looking at these two stained glass windows, trying to figure out what is it about these two stained glass windows that they have in common, I was drawn to wounds. If you looked on this side, Jesus, the human, who is also divine, hangs on the cross, his side pierced, his feet pierced, his hands pierced, his head pierced. He's bleeding out. It looks very clean. In that window, it was gory. In this window, we see Christ sitting on his throne in all his glory and majesty, and his right hand, you can't really see it right now, his right hand's being held up like this, and he's showing us something. His wounds are present. In our reading from Colossians this evening, we heard, he is the image of the invisible God. It's pretty invisible right now. The firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven. He's coming in bread and wine, don't worry. For all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things. And here's the key for me. In him, all things hold together. In the years following Jesus' death, there were various theologies being discussed. The one that still holds true to me is this concept that in Christ, all of us are reconciled. All of us are held together in this bizarre, mysterious thing called the cosmic Christ. Somehow, all of us are part of it. All of us are part of those wounds that are up there on the cross, and all of us are part of that thing enthroned. There's a Netflix series to be had there, I'm sure. All things are held together in him. My theology of the anointed one, of the Christ, is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Christ, we are brought into that mystical body. We too are members of Christ. We hear the words clothed in Christ, residing in Christ. I am no longer Jeffrey, the individual. I am a member of this mystical body. So are you. We witness the mystical body each day here at this cathedral, each week as we gather for the Eucharist, in the body and the blood. We gaze upon these representations, windows into better understanding the mystery behind this body, and we see wounds. When the bread is broken, we see it fractured. When the wine is poured out from one vessel into multiple vessels, it too is broken. I am drawn to these images and symbols and rituals of wounds. They run deep. Wounds are on our bodies. They're in our hearts and in our minds. They're in us as individuals. They are in us as communities. They are Christ's living flesh. They are a witness along with the scars they leave. Some wounds heal, others do not. Marks are left. We bear witness to wounds in this place. Many of us carry open wounds. Others have scars marking our bodies on the inside or the out. We carry the wounds of the communities which we are members of. We have enfleshed the scars of our communities. As members of Christ's body, we bear those open wounds and scars. They are the wounds and scars of our common history as Christians. They are wounds and scars of what is happening in our faith communities today. And if we bear them, Christ too bears them. This, I believe, is something of a Christian hope, that God too knows what it is like to be human. And if we are all members of Christ's mystical body, we too bear the wounds of each other. We are called to see them, to witness them, and to acknowledge to each other when we have also been the cause of them. I don't want to minimize the wounds each of us may have in this moment, or the scars which have been left in or on our bodies. And in some cases, as a dear friend recently reminded me, a wound or a scar might be the reminder of something good, of a happier yet painful memory, a mark that is witness to a change in becoming fully oneself as God has created us. Some wounds are transformative and are the sites of life. Wounds left behind from a C-section, a mastectomy, or a transition surgery. As we celebrate the reign of Christ, the wounds which Jesus the Christ bore and the wounds that Christ's body continues to bear are the wounds of the living and mystical body of Christ. Christian images of wounds have always been part of my life. Growing up, there was always a crucifix in my home and a statue of Jesus. And like this room, the crucifix has the wounds. And Jesus always has a pierced foot just sticking out of his robes, and always one hand showing the wound. Many mystics and saints have focused on the wounds of Christ as a spiritual practice. The wounds of Christ have been a focal point of human fascination and spiritual reflection, of art and of writing. They remind us that as Christ's living body, wounds are part of our everyday. Whether it is comforting or not, these wounds also pierce the body of God. Transphobia, homophobia, the erasure of bisexual identities, sexism, racism, anti-blackness, ableism, clericalism, the destruction of creation, the overconsumption of material things, and the accumulation of wealth for the sake of accumulating wealth, all of these wound Christ. All of these wound each and every one of us in this room. With Christ, through Christ, and in Christ, we share in the woundedness of this creation. Wounds run deep, and yet they are also the sites of resurrection, of new life and a new beginning, even if they never go away. The resurrected body of Christ is marked. The wounds are witnessed in that stained glass window, and it shows that there is a different way of being. The Jesus there is different than the Jesus over there. In some weird way, the wounds are a reminder that change has happened. This is the Paschal mystery that we share day after day, week after week in the Eucharist. The one body, elevated by the priest, is broken, fractured, it is wounded. Our one body, as the body of Christ, is elevated by the priest. It is broken, fractured, and wounded. The single cup is poured out in multiple cups. It is fractured and wounded. And again, week after week, we come back, and there is one loaf, and there is one cup. Again, we are made whole. We are nourished and fed, and yet we are fractured and wounded and broken. This is the Paschal cycle that we go through day in and day out, week after week. Throughout Luke's gospel, we are introduced to wounds enfleshed on those who Jesus comes into relationship with, and those wounds are pierced through Jesus' own skin physically and in a divine way beyond our understanding. There is a human fleshiness to Luke's gospel. We meet Jesus as a baby, Jesus as an adult, Jesus' death and resurrection. We are invited to recognize through the fleshiness of being human a new way of living. Each and every day as we prepare the way of the Christ, we are wounded. The Christ is wounded. Our mystical corporeal body is wounded and scarred. And yet we come back as a Christian community week after week with a hope, a Christian hope. A hope of a world that is different than the world in which we live in. This is the Christian hope we are celebrating today, the solemnity of the reign of Christ. Hope in a monarchy that's totally different than how we can ever understand the principalities and powers of this world. This hope needs to be more than just something that is thought about in our head or preached from this room. This must be our hope in our day-to-day work. It must be the prayer we proclaim in the morning when we are reminded to prepare the way of the Anointed One in our midst. This is not an erasure of wounds. It is not a denying of the realities of this world. It is about recognizing the wounded marks on and in our bodies and their influence on us. And they are ways for us to see life in a new way. To see life in the way that Christ has opened up for us, and calls us to live into.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.